Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu also narrated, brothers, in a note you can draw a lot of conclusions. A dog is man's most faithful companion, etc., etc. You can understand a lot of things from this. This is from a hadith of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And really it's very touching to know these facts. You may be wondering, these sound like fairy tales, brothers. Be cautious. Be very, very cautious. I'm going to start reciting to you just now some ayat of the Quran which bear out these fascinating tales. And if anybody tells you that we are sitting here and dealing with myths and legends, fairy tales, then brothers, do one thing. Ask these people, what is their version? What is their version then? This is still nothing, brothers. You're going to hear more strange things which are going to come. Don't miss these lessons. Come after Asr and sit here and you will learn a lot of strange things. What do you and I know? With this little brain that we have here and the meager understanding that we have, what do we know about the creation of man? What do we know about the story of man? Do we have any reason to deny anything that we are hearing here? Do we have alternatives then? Ask these people who object. Ask them then, if they say, well, Allah Ta'ala created all this with a kun fayakun, then ask them, why does it take Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala 9 months in the womb of the mother before the child is born? Kun fayakun, why does it need that period for us to become adults? Why not with a kun fayakun? Out of the mother's womb in a jiffy and grown up in the next second. Why this lengthy period of learning? Why do we have to wait and go through so many years and years of study before we get, if knowledge could have been attained by man with a kun fayakun, and why should you and I spend in the course of learning 20, 30 years of our lives? Let's go and take the argument a little further. If we're going to earn a certain amount after 30 years, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not bestow us upon us that earning when we are born? Why should we wait 30 years before we start earning money and deriving an income? Brothers, there's a lot of questions. The reason being that everything follows procedure. It works with time. Everything goes gradually, develops gradually. And it is in the gradual development that lies the secret. It gives us time to ponder, to reflect, to meditate, to worship, to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This world is an illusion, brothers. I keep repeating that to you. There is nothing in this world for us. This what we call time, 10 years and 20 years and 30 years and 40 years we talk about, this is not time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all kun fayakun. It appears to us as time, but there is no time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything happens by the will and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To us it appears time. You close your eyes and when you are in sakaratul maut, your life will come to you all just like that, compress in a second, less than a second. That's what life is all about. But don't wait until your eyes close and your heart stops beating before you realize that. Realize it now and do something about it. Often have I heard that we talk here and we discuss myths and fairy tales, but they never tell you what is their version. So ask them some of these questions. Query it with them as well. Don't just take. Give a little also. Ask them, all right, if this is not so, then how did it happen? And if they say, well, it happened with a kun fayakun and there's no need of fairy tales to say and go into all these details with this, then ask them, if it was with kun fayakun, then how long did it take you in your mother's womb? Let them think. Brothers, I'm not telling you all this because I believe it is fairy tales. I believe it's absolutely true. It happened this way. I've researched it. I've checked it. I don't find any major tafsirs that deny on you. Though not all of them contain it, yes. But nobody denies this. There must be a way, somehow, that all this happened, that man was created. And I will give you a fitting ayat of the Quran that lock into this and tell us that it could not have been otherwise. Oh yes, here and there may be in slight detail I may not be 100%. But all in all, this is genuine and true, and it can be corroborated and authenticated with ayat of the Quran and many sayings of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ikram. Now, what more do we want? Don't turn everything you learn into myth and legend. For man, we are myth and legend if that is so, and we are a fairy tale. For it has taken a long time for us to arrive at this stage. With that, let's proceed. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu also narrated that the spirit of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the soul and the spirit, the life of Sayyidina Nabiyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was preserved in a lamp or in a chandelier, but in a lamp, in some kind of light, some glow which lights the heavens. We use the word lamp. We cannot comprehend the items of Jannah. I cannot describe them to you. That which the eye, no eye had seen, no mind can imagine, no ear has ever heard, how can I describe it to you? But we say a lamp of Jannah. In a lamp, in a special place, in a special lamp of Jannah, was the soul or the spirit of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu informs us that this spirit or life or soul of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preserved in a lamp in the seventh heaven, and it was engaged in reciting tasbih, which means the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A drop of essence of the spirit or the soul of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam formed in this lamp, and it fell where the grave of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lies today. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, as ordained by Allah ta'ala, picked up the piece of earth or scooped up the piece of earth where this essence of the ruh of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell, and he mixed it, who, Jibreel alayhi salam, with musk and with amber, and then applied it to the forehead of the lifeless form of Adam. A powerful light now glowed from Adam, and his whole body took on a glowing shine and a glowing brightness, but it is still lifeless. And the whole body of Adam, on which had been rubbed, on whose forehead had been rubbed this piece of earth mixed with musk and umber, according to the command of Allah Ta'ala, and rubbed onto the forehead of him, his whole body took on a shine and a glowing brightness. The body of Adam shone thus for 40 days in the heavens, whereafter the soul of Adam was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the command from Allah ta'ala went out to Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, Israfil alayhi salam, and Israel alayhi salatu wassalam to place the soul into the body of Adam. Each of these leading angels proceeded forward in the company of 70,000 angels in a splendid ceremonial entourage, all of them led by a covered or a veiled tray, a covered tray, a veiled tray, bearing the soul, bearing the life, bearing the spirit, all three synonymous terms, bearing the soul of Adam. This veiled tray of Jannah was placed on the crown of Adam, on the head of Adam. And the veil was then removed from the tray to reveal the soul of Adam in all its blazing glory and brilliance. excitement was running high in the heavens amongst the angels. By the permission of Allah Ta'ala, the angels of the seven heavens congregated to behold the investiture of Adam with the vicegerency of Allah Ta'ala, a most worthy and honorable commission indeed. They all wished, all the angels of the seven heavens wished to observe how this coronation of Adam would take place. How this pure soul of Adam, which had been created by Allah Ta'ala, would enter the lifeless clay body of Adam, which had by now become baked and hardened and prepared, and how the proceeding would be conducted further. They, the angels, were keen to observe the inauguration of this new human creation of species of Allah Ta'ala and see what wonders man held of the rest of creation of Allah Ta'ala. This is what the concern of the malaikas and the angels was. How is this lifeless, inert shape and form, this human form, this shape of Adam, mold of Adam, how is it going to turn out to be the most majestic and the most afdal, the finest in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The following sound or voice, the following sound was heard in the heavens. Ayyuhar ruh, udkhul fi hadhal jasad. O soul of Adam, enter this body. The ruh of Adam spun around the body of Adam in seven motions, but could not enter it. The ruh of Adam circled around the lifeless form of Adam, trying to penetrate it and trying to enter it, but it could not. The ruh then addressed itself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as follows: O my creator, O my Rabb, I am a pure substance, a light element, and this body is dense and dark. How shall I enter it, O my Rabb? The following sound was then heard: Udkhul karhan, wakhruj karhan, which means enter this body with aversion and depart from this body with aversion. That is to say, enter the body of Adam with dislike and with disgust, and leave it with dislike and with disgust. The soul of Adam then, in compliance with divine ordainment, entered the body of Adam through the nasal opening, through the nose passages, and started circulating and rotating in the head, in his head, in Adam's head. As life flowed into the head of Adam, his eyes opened, fluttered and opened, and the soul moved down the throat to the chest, and from the chest down to the navel. As the soul moved through the upper part of the body downwards, life flowed into it and it came alive. The body of Adam, the upper part, came alive. The clay figure of Adam turned to flesh as the ruh moved along, and the flesh was held steady by the bone structure, the bone formation, and the muscle formation. And the brain, the heart, the lungs, the liver, the colon, the kidneys, arteries, the veins, the skin, and the blood came alive and took on their respective functions. As the upper body began to function, Adam, by the strength which Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon him at this stage of his development, leaned on the ground with his hands and he attempted to rise. But Adam failed to do so because he was only partially formed, only partially alive. Life had not as yet come into his lower limbs. Seeing this behavior of Adam, the angel said, "This creation of Allah will be hasty and impatient. Half of him is still clay, and he is hasty and impatient to rise." This is recorded in the Quran Majid as follows: "Wa kana al-insan ajula," and man has been created hasty. Surah Bani Israel, 17th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 11. The soul of Adam went down into the lower limbs, flowed into the lower limbs, and the whole body of Adam then came alive. The ruh of Adam was circulating through his body, making him unsteady. And he was rocking and he was shaking somewhat. Some of the angels were instructed by Allah Ta'ala to gently rub the head of Adam and to massage his forehead. As they did this, the ruh stabilized in the body of Adam. The body gained equilibrium, firmness and soundness, and Adam thereupon sneezed. Inspired by Allah Ta'ala, Adam immediately said, "Alhamdulillah." All praises are due to Allah. And from Allah Ta'ala came the reply, "Yarhamukullah." May the mercy of Allah be upon you. Adam was then adorned, crowned, and placed upon a throne by the malaikas, by the angels, and a light shone brightly forth from his forehead all the time, all the while. This was the light and the nur of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus was the ordination of Adam alayhi salam in the first instance, the first part, as it has been received by us from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now we come to the installation. We have completed the inauguration of Adam. And you notice I am not saying alayhi salam all the time after the name of Adam, because he is not yet a prophet. But as we proceed, I will bring it in. Now we come to the installation of Adam before the rest of creation as the most noble and the most honored creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or honored creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is now created, life has come into him, he is on a beautiful throne of Jannah, he has a crown of glory on his head of Jannah. He has malaikas all around him, serving him, looking after him, caring for him, and the Nur-e Muhammadi, or the Nur of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, penetrating and shining forth from him. This is the stage we have reached. Now we come to the installation of Adam before the rest of creation as the most noble and honored creation of Allah Ta'ala. The command went out from Allah Ta'ala to the entire creation of the angels, including the privileged jinn. Which privileged jinn? Azazil. To prostrate to Adam as a mark of respect and not for the purpose of worship. The Quran records the command of what followed as follows. Let's look at the Quran and see what happens now after the investiture and after the inauguration of Adam. We come now to the part where the Quran takes up the story now as to what happened and proceeded thereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens has now ordained by his divine decree that all the malaikas, including Azazil, will perform sujood of Adam. And I make it very clear, as a mark of respect to the dignity and the honor of man, not for the purposes of worship. And I wish to add that that particular ordainment has been abolished, totally removed by Sayyidina wa Nabina or Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just to remove any doubt that they may be on this score. In our Sharia, that has been totally removed. There is no such thing that we should perform sujood, for whatever reason, even for respect to any human being. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the Sahaba Ikram to perform sujood of him. So there is no reason why anybody should make sujood of anybody thereafter. Let's proceed now. The Quran records the command of what followed as follows. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, ayat number 34, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and recall the time. Recall that period when we said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam. And they prostrated themselves, except for Iblis, who refused and was puffed up with pride. And he became of the unbelievers. Swollen with pride and self-esteem, Azazil rejected the command of Allah Ta'ala, and he stood stiff-necked and brazen in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, while the angels went forthwith into prostration. The name Iblis is given, as indicated in the ayat, the name Iblis is given by Allah Ta'ala to Azazil for his disobedience of a command of Allah Ta'ala. And he is declared a kafir, an unbeliever. Now look at this. His long period of worship of Allah Ta'ala has been disqualified and nullified in the process by his utter rebellion. When they arose from their prostration, when the malaikas arose from their prostration, the angels saw Iblis standing obstinately. They went down into prostration again. And the following question was asked by Allah Ta'ala of Iblis. Ya Iblis, ma mana'aka an tasjuda lima khalaqtu biyadayya. Astakbarta am kunta minal aalin. Surah Swad, 38th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 75. O Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating yourself before that which I have created with my hands? Meaning, of course, which I, Allah, has created with His power. Did you become elated with pride? Azazil, did you become elated with pride, or did you consider yourself one of the exalted angels? Iblis continued to be intractable and intransigent. Adam alayhi salam was a lesser being as far as he was concerned. He had already worshipped and prostrated to Allah Ta'ala for thousands of years, for millions of years. His record of service and ibadah and devotion was an excellent one. He was not going to prostrate now to a mud created being with no record of service and dedication and worship. Opinionated, willful, unyielding, impervious, case hardened and stubborn, Azazil replied, or as called by Allah, Iblis replied, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقَتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقَتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. Surah Sad, 38th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 76. He, Iblis, said, I am better than he. You, O Allah, have created me of fire. And you have created him, that is to say Adam, of clay. How contumacious, the word contumacious I'm using for Iblis here means opposing the authority of Allah with contempt. How contumacious, how obstinate, and how rebellious, how insolent and how haughty, how hard-mouthed and hide-bound. No creation of Allah Ta'ala can defy the absolute authority and the supreme power of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has granted to the jinn their own will and their own right to choose. And Iblis was exercising this right in front and in the presence of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Only man and jinn has this, the right to choose and the right to express themselves. And here, jinn is expressing himself. The malaikas can't do this. Jinn is expressing his right God-given, God-granted right to express his own opinion. But look at the contumaciousness, the obstinacy, and the rebelliousness of Iblis in being so brave, or cowardly is a better word, to speak words of this nature to and in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, both for men and jinn, there is also punishment for rebellion. Iblis chose the rebellious and the disobedient way. And Iblis chose to be rebellious and disobedient to the command of Allah Ta'ala, and the result of his mania, and the result of his madness, and the result of his insanity was, said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. This is ayat 77 and 78 of Surah Swat, 38th Surah of the Quran, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get out of here. Verily you are driven away from the mercy of Allah, and verily my curse will be on you until the day of judgment. The curse of Allah Ta'ala is very powerful indeed, to be removed from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala by becoming an outcast shows us the extremity and the extent of Iblis's madness and perversity. To be further cursed by Allah Ta'ala until the final day, meaning there will be no intervening forgiveness for Iblis for his rebellion, shows us the damaging consequences of defying and rejecting the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Herein is a lesson for mankind. The result of Allah's rejection and curse of Iblis was immediately noticeable on Iblis. His face became contorted, his features became distorted and ugly, extremely frightful to look at. Not only his features became horrible and terrifying, even his limbs became monstrous, ghastly and repulsive. Iblis looked repulsive and forbidding and gruesome. A glance at the hideous looking Iblis would tell one that he was cursed and rejected by his maker and his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how Allah's curse works. Iblis then opened his mouth. Look at the cowardice. Iblis then opened his mouth and he said, O Allah, you have rejected me and you have repulsed me for the sake of Adam. That is my misfortune. Meaning, what he meant by the words of Iblis when he addressed himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, O Allah, you have rejected me, and O Allah, you have repulsed me for the sake of Adam, and that is my misfortune. Meaning that with this curse, I will have to live forever, for the rest of my life, till the end of time, and I am helpless to do anything about it. Iblis realizes there is nothing he can do. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees and ordains, none can put it asunder, none can put it aside, none can do anything with the authority and the hukum, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala asked Iblis to look at the divine ordainment again. And it read as follows. Whoever disobeys a command, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now reminding Iblis of something that happened in the past. The divine ordainment that Iblis had seen, at that time he was Azazil, in the Lawh-e Mahfuz was as follows. Whoever disobeys a command of Allah ta'ala will be punished by a curse of Allah. Iblis then looked at his own note, written and recorded by him on command from Allah Ta'ala, and it read, O Allah, the punishment for one who refuses to submit to your command is that they be struck with a divine curse. Iblis was thoroughly dismayed and he hung his head in shame. His ego and his passion blinded and floored him. F-L-A-W-E-D, and floored him. He turned to Allah Ta'ala with this plea. Qala Rabbi fa'anzirni la yawmi yub'asoon. Surah Sad, 79th ayat of the 38th surah. Iblis said, my sustainer, grant me respite until the day of resurrection. Iblis had already entered and examined the body of Adam. He had noted the food and the air tunnels in the body of Adam. He had seen the arteries and the veins in the body of Adam. He had experienced the ease of entry through the nasal passage. He had noted the many cavities in the human body. If he were granted a respite, he would have access to the human body. And then he could circulate within, he reckoned, and send sensations and impulses to delude and to deceive man. He would send ideas and fancies into the brain of man and lure man away from the worship of Allah Ta'ala. He therefore also wished to be invisible to man. Would Allah Ta'ala grant him respite to delude man? Iblis waited for the decision of Allah Ta'ala to his request. My sustainer, grant me respite until the day of resurrection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree came as follows. Qala fa'innaka minal munzareen ila yawmil waqtil ma'loom. Ayat number 81. Iblis received, Allah said, verily you are respited until the day of the appointed time. Which means, of course, the day of resurrection, which means therefore until the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him his request, and the Quran informs us in Surah 38, Surah Sad, ayat number 81 as follows. Allah said, verily you, O Azazil, O Iblis, verily you are respited until the day of the appointed time. Iblis received the requested divine reprieve from Allah Ta'ala. Man was no ordinary creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When man is in submission to Allah ta'ala, as is his duty, then man fears none but Allah ta'ala, and he is protected and guarded and guided by the mercy of Allah ta'ala. Iblis cannot delude him. As to those who are unsubmissive and unresponsive and rebellious to the commandments of Allah ta'ala, well, they have already turned away from their duty. And they have done out of their own choice. And this they have done out of their own choice. So the delusions of Iblis are what they deserve and what they seek. It is their just reward. Look, we have been commanded and ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to live in obedience and in submission to Allah ta'ala and follow the sunnah and the teachings and the life pattern and style of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Clear command, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Now you get somebody who comes along and he doesn't practice Atiullah and Atiur Rasul. As a result of which, shaitan climbs onto him, waswases him, misleads him, leads him astray. Tell me, by whose choice is that? That is out of his own volition. He had the right to choose. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had no hesitation at all whatsoever in granting shaitan this request. Who is shaitan? What is shaitan? Weak. Iblis was nothing at all. The Allah-fearing, pious, muttaqin, salihin, mukhlisin have nothing to fear, for they are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is there to grant Iblis his request? Do bear in mind that Iblis has come a long way as Azazil. And prior to that, as Salih, as Abid, as Shafi, he himself has performed ibadah of a very, very lengthy duration. Iblis, on being granted his request for respite by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now announces his devilish and diabolical plans to mislead and misdirect mankind with all the powers and abilities at his disposal in the following way, as recorded in the Quran, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Ayat number 82 and 83, Iblis said, by your majesty. In other words, he's addressing Allah. He's in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Says Iblis, by your majesty do I swear, I take an oath, I will surely seduce mankind, I will surely seduce them. But who? Ajma'in. I will surely seduce them all of mankind, except your chosen servants from among them. Subhanallah. Here shaitan knows, and Iblis knows, he is not going to succeed with those who are and live in obedience to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By your majesty do I swear, I take oath, that I will surely seduce them all, except your chosen servants from among them. Iblis has made his intentions with man plain and clear. He has also made it very clear that amongst men are those whom he will be unable to seduce and to deceive. The sincere and devoted servants of Allah Ta'ala will remain uninfluenced and unperturbed by the machinations of Iblis. As to all others, they will be Iblis's playmates and stable companions. He will wreak havoc on them. He will seize them. He will animalize them. He will dehumanize them. He will demolish and destroy them. What is the worth of man? What honor and dignity belongs to man? Man who turns away from the ahkam and the commandments and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You tell me. Thus such people who live in disobedience and in rebellion, they fall foul of Iblis, and so they destroy themselves. And when shaitan made clear what he would do to man and how he would seduce man and corrupt man and mislead man and misdirect man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ فَالْحَقُّ وَالْحَقَّ أَقُولُ لَعَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكَ وَمِمَّنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. So, ayat number 84 and ayat number 85 of Surah Sawad, 38 Surah of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said, the truth is, and I, Allah, speak the truth, I will surely fill hell with you and with such of them as follow you all together. Like you are saying, Iblis, that you're going to seduce man all together, all of mankind. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, I am telling the truth. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the truth is, and I, Allah, speak the truth, that Iblis, know you well, know ye well, that I will surely fill hell with you, with all the shayateen, I will fill hell with all of you, and from amongst mankind, with all those who follow you, all together, all the Iblises, all the shayateen, and all those from amongst mankind who follow you, all together, I will fill all hell with all of you. Sentence is pronounced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or say judgment is pronounced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mankind is informed. The judgment of Allah ta'ala will stand. The merits of this matter are not for men to judge. They possess neither the mentality, nor the faculty, nor the wisdom. Allah ta'ala is the sole judge of man, of entire creation. Allah decrees, and not all the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are understood by man, for man possesses not the wisdom. The story of the life of shaitan now proceeds. I'll just give it a start, brothers, and we'll end off. The angels were ordered, we're taking up the story again. The angels were ordered by Allah Ta'ala to take the adorned, crowned and enthroned Adam into Jannatul Firdaus. Look, the ordination, the inauguration, the coronation, call it what you like, of Adam al-Islam has now proceeded. The malaikas have made sujood. Iblis has refused to make sujood. Then this dramatic event took place, which for which I have recited from the Quran, the Quranic ayat. Shaitan is now cursed. He is called Iblis by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is removed from Jannah. Let's turn our attention now to Adam alayhi salam. Adam now, with the wonderful clothes of Jannah with which he has been adorned by the malaikas, and the crown which of glory which has been placed on his head, and of course his throne with which he moves around in Jannah in comfort, he is now informed as follows. He is informed that he can abide in Jannah amidst all the glory and the splendor of Firdaus, of Jannatul Firdaus. And so Adam found himself in Jannah, in bliss, in serenity, and in utter comfort. Unimaginable to man, indescribable. Adam was a male, and he longed for the comfort of a female companion. This was a natural desire and a normal longing in Adam, placed there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Single and one, in every respect and in every way, is only Allah ta'ala. Self-supporting, self-sufficient, independent, with an unmixed unity and oneness. Everything else is a creation of Allah ta'ala and dependent upon Allah ta'ala. And not a single one of the creation of Allah ta'ala is like the oneness of Allah ta'ala. The desire for a mate and a spouse was inherent in Adam. What I've just said now is very, very important. The singleness and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in creation, nothing is in similar mold or kind as the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is created. Allah is uncreated. The desire for a mate and a spouse, for a wife, was inherent in Adam. And he felt lonely and he felt desolate, even in the midst of the beauty and the splendor of Jannah, which I said is indescribable. And I have said it's unimaginable. The uneasiness and the restlessness which Adam felt eventually ended in a kind of slumber, a kind of sleep between awakening and sleeping, a semi-conscious state. We call it, you can call it a kind of a reverie, which means a kind of mental abstraction, struck Adam. By the command of Allah Ta'ala, and with no pain affecting Adam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, by the command of Allah Ta'ala, removed a rib from the left side of Adam, and from this rib was created the mother of mankind by the command of Allah Ta'ala, and her name, she was blessed with the name by Allah Ta'ala of Hawa alayhi salam. The beauty, the grace, the charm, and the modesty of womanhood shone in the loveliness of Hawa. She was blessed with serenity and tranquility, and resplendently adorned in an exquisite garb of Jannah, with a radiant crown of jewels from Jannah on her head, seated in a gorgeous and magnificently bejeweled throne of Jannah. Adam was thereafter brought out of his reverie or his slumber, and Hawa was presented before him. She was brought before him by the malaikas. Adam was thereafter brought out and presented before her. Adam was thereafter brought out of his slumber, and Hawa was presented before him. The involuntary response of Adam on seeing Hawa was to touch her, to reach out to her. But a sound was heard, "O Adam, beware, touch her not till you are married to her." Adam then requested of Allah Ta'ala that he be married to Hawa. This was consented to by Allah Ta'ala, and the angels were given orders and instructions by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin preparations for the nuptial ceremony of Adam and Hawa in the heavens. In compliance with the command of Allah Ta'ala, there was great happiness and rejoicing amongst the angels with regard to the marriage of Adam and Hawa in Jannah. The wedding would take place under the tree of Tuba, a tree in Jannah bearing the most delicious fruit. The gems, the jewels, the emeralds and the pearls of Jannah, dazzling in their beauty and their splendor, were placed as gifts before the couple. And the angels of the seven heavens graced the nikah ceremony with their auspicious presence. A divine nikah khutbah was performed in which the following words were used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praises belong to Allah. Honor and glory is the mantle of Allah. Power and might is the strength of Allah. Entire creation are the slaves and servants of Allah. The prophets are the messengers and friends of Allah, and Muhammad is the beloved and final messenger of Allah. The khutbah then continued as follows. Everything have I created to testify to my oneness and to my indivisible unity. Be witness, O my angels, all celestial beings in the heavens, and the bearers of this universe, that I, Allah, with my creative strength and almighty power, have performed the marriage, the nikah, of Adam and Hawa. And the true witness of the marriage of Adam to Hawa is my tasbih, my tanziyah, my tahleel, and my taqdis. Tasbih meaning the glory and the praises of Allah. Tanziyah meaning the purity of Allah. Tahleel meaning the kalima tayyiba, the kalima shahada. And taqdis meaning the holiness of Allah Ta'ala. Khutbah continues, there is none worthy of worship but Allah. Allah is one, and Allah hath no partner. O Adam, you and your wife may dwell in Jannah and enjoy the fruits thereof with pleasure, with delight, and with contentment. But go not near this tree, for then you will be unjust. And on the two of you is my salam, and my mercy, and my blessings. Unquote. End of khutbah. Thereafter, Adam was inspired by Allah Ta'ala to say these words of thanks and praises of Allah Ta'ala, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Allah is pure. All praises belong to Allah. There is no God but Allah. Allah is the supreme. None have the strength and power of Allah. Allah is the mighty. Allah is the powerful, the omniscient and the omnipotent. And after this nikah khutbah, the heavens were lit up with the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels were praising and glorifying Allah ta'ala. The nuptial ceremony of the father and mother of mankind was a unique event in heaven. There was tremendous excitement and angelic fervor in the heavens. The angels surrounded the pair with greetings and blessings and showered them with heavenly gifts. This was a moment in time that men and angels would never forget. They would treasure this in their memory forever. The reception given by the angels to Adam and Hawa was an unforgettable and a cherishable one. The entire heavens rang with the praises of Allah Ta'ala. Men will never be able to comprehend the true nature of this event of the nikah of Adam and Hawa alayhum assalam in the heavens. I've done my best to describe it to you as best I can. Obviously, it is impossible to do justice to any kind of description to the father and mother of mankind being wedded and betrothed in heaven in the presence of the angels of the seven heavens and with a khutbah performed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers, we will end off here, and from here onwards we will proceed on Sunday after Salatul Asr. And I have, as I say, quite a way to go still to complete what we had advertised. Unfortunately, I am unable to do so in the holy month of Ramadan. Brothers, we will make dua now. As I assured you last week, we have a few remaining minutes, and then I have an announcement to make. Ikrahul Fatiha bil Barakah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله سيدنا محمد وصحبه وبارك وسلم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الفقر وقنا عذاب الدين اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين يا الله we beseech you, we beg you, we seek from you forgiveness for all our trespasses, transgressions and sins, O Allah. O Allah, forgive us and forgive all those of our families, our friends and all those who are dependent upon us, O Allah. O Allah, forgive all those in our community, and O Allah, forgive all those who live in our land, and O Allah, forgive all those of the Ummah of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, we are increasing in our trespasses and transgressions, O Allah. We are doing so much to invite your wrath and anger, O Allah. But, O Allah, you are all powerful. O Allah, have mercy on this ummah. O Allah, have mercy on this ummah. Rahmah on this ummah. O Allah, grant hidayat to us. And, O Allah, grant us that we all seek forgiveness for what we are doing. And, O Allah, through your might and your power, you are the only one who can forgive us, O Allah, and change events and the situation of the Ummah. O Allah, such pious beings used to come to this Ummah in the past, O Allah. Such awliyas and ulamas, such great and noble people. These people are disappearing from the Ummah, O Allah, or they are in hiding, O Allah. Allow such people to comfort and guide us and help us that we can walk in the Sirat Mustaqim, O Allah. O Allah, you are aware, O Allah, that Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a Khatimun Nabiyyin. He is the final and the last messenger, and his teaching is the complete and the final one, O Allah. But O Allah, from amongst his followers, let there be such that are honest and sincere and pure of heart and pure of mind to help us, inform us and to guide us and to lead us so that we may follow that path that you chose for Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain. Oh Allah, have pity on us, have mercy on us, guide and help us. For the times which lie ahead are difficult times for this Ummah, ya Allah. And we are concerned, us as parents, us as elders, as to what will transpire in the future with our progeny, with our children. There is harshness, there is hardness, there is cruelty amongst the unbelievers, which they exercise freely. And they oppress those that are below them freely and willingly. O Allah, remove oppression from this world. O Allah, remove enmity of man against man. And O Allah, let there be sympathy and empathy amongst mankind. O Allah, save our children for the future and of the future. O Allah, guide them and let them have the learning of Islam and the a'mal of Islam. O Allah, there are so many amongst us that are sick, so many that are ill, so many that are old, so many that are suffering. O Allah, relieve them of their suffering and their hardship and their illness. O Allah, give shifa to all those that are ill. Long life to those that are ill, those that are sickly and those that are old. O Allah, may the mantle of your rahmah enshroud and uncover all the kind, the good, the virtuous and the devout Muslimin of this world. And O Allah, our iman is so weak, O Allah, and yet we have so much knowledge of our deen. O Allah, let this knowledge be put into practice so that our iman may grow and that our iman may become strong. For with such strong iman, we will be able to protect ourselves and help ourselves, inshallah. O Allah, O Allah, there is increasing unemployment in the ummah, O Allah. Income levels are dropping. Life is becoming harder and harsher, O Allah. O Allah, make it easy for us. Make it easy for the ummah. Let there be employment. Generate employment, O Allah, for all our people. And let there be barakah in our incomes. There is hardly any barakah left as a result of the riba and the interest systems, economic systems in existence, O Allah. Save us from riba. Save us from all these calamities and evils that and sins that abound around us. O Allah, save this ummah for the future. O Allah, we turn to you and plead with you. And we beseech you, O Allah, have mercy on us and forgive us all. And shower your blessings and your rahmah and your sympathies and your compassion on this ummah, Ya Allah. And make us strong in unity and bind us together in the akhwa and the brotherhood and the sisterhood of Islam. O Allah, we seek from you hidayat and we seek from you, O Allah, your guidance for all times, O Allah. O Allah, help us and forgive us. O Allah, make that all of us always and forever be followers of the sunnah of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, grant us tawfiq. O Allah, grant us hidayat. And O Allah, let us follow the tariqah not only of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the tariqah as he showed and as was practiced by the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain. Let us love them, for they loved Rasulullah, and let us love Rasulullah as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved and obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, there are amongst us so many calamities, so many evils, so much that is sinful. O Allah, this day, this last Sunday of Ramadan al-Mubarak, O Allah, we have raised our hands and we are about to perform Salatul Asr. We have emerged after more than an hour of listening to Zikrullah, to your teachings, and we have been engaged in Ibadah throughout this time, O Allah. O Allah, you hear all and you see all, and in each one of our hearts is a pleading gesture, O Allah. And the cry that we make to you at this moment of time, of which you and the malaikas are witness of, O Allah, is that you, O Allah, forgive us all. O Allah, we ask you for maaf and we make tawbah, Ya Allah, for whatever we have done. May we emerge from this holy month of Ramadan cleansed and purified, inshallah, ameen. And O Allah, let us change our lives from now onwards, that we spend our lives and our whole future in total obedience to you, Ya Allah, and that we be the followers of Ati'ullah and Ati'ur Rasul. O Allah, we pray also that these lessons that we have been conducting for the last quarter century, 25 years, O Allah, that it can continue for much longer and that as many people as possible may gain and benefit from these lessons, O Allah. And all those who attend, O Allah, that they receive their just reward and due in the Akhirah, Ya Allah. O Allah, make it easy for us in Akhirah. Let judgment be easy in Akhirah. O Allah, when we appear before before you after the Ba'ath of Allah, after the resurrection of Allah. Make those times and those trials and tribulations, both that which we face in the grave and in the hereafter, make it easy for us, O Allah. Give us the shadow of your throne, O Allah, in the hereafter. Shelter us and protect us with your rahmah, O Allah. And, O Allah, last we ask you, but not least, O Allah, reward us with Jannah, O Allah. Let us all be in Jannah. Not only us, Allah, but all of us, all our families and all our friends and all our relatives, all and each and every one of us. Make it sahal, make it easy for us in Akhirah. Inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samil alim wa tub alayna innaka anta tawabur rahim. Subhan سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاكم الله برادرز.